Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, National Guard soldiers were sickened after food with worms, metal shavings, and some raw meat. On Wednesday, I went scorched earth on Twitter. Just to make a point, I went after the Sergeant Major of the Army. There's some stuff I regret about it, and there's stuff I don't. We're going to talk about that in round number one. Round number two, there's an acronym to end all acronyms, and we're only really discussing it so we can hear Kate read it in the phonetic alphabet. Round number three. For round three, sorry, guys. Can't keep my eyes open.
Well, hey, that's perfect, my friend, because round number three is about sleep deprivation in the military.
Which Kate is sleep deprived because she's the one that wrote that joke and wasn't ready for it. Round number four,
There was supposed to be two yawns, chaps. You were supposed to
two yawns. Sorry, my bad.
Wow.
That's on me. I take full responsibility.
Of improvisation. You better read that script as
exactly.
Is, sir.
Control freak. Look, nobody even
had to tweet at me to take full responsibility for that mistake. I just fucking did it right there. Round number four. Bend over and let me see inside that brown starfish. That's not me talking, folks. That's China, who don't care about your vagina, but need to swab that butt. This story is nuts. Mm-hmm. And finally, round number five. Thai Navy sailors saved cats off of a sinking ship this week, and the photos of those ripped fellows in the waters with kittens on their back will give you a wet pussy. And all of that today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at, oh shit, I lost the ad. Ah, damn it. No, wait, here it is. Got it. Canine Pro Gear. Canine Pro Gear. Yes, I love this gear. It is great. They have the olive drab, they have black, they have tan. Coyote tan, if you're talking. And by the way, coyote tan makes me think of all the wolves that are getting shot up around the country. Did you guys see what that was about? They had like wolf. It must be wolf season.
I didn't know that there was a wolf season.
Yeah, I didn't know there was either, but I've seen it a lot. 269 I saw on social media this week got knocked out. But the Can I Pro Gear, they have bags that come with a lifetime warranty, and right now, that's dangerous, man. Like, if you are a company that is targeting the military audience, and you say, we have a lifetime warranty on our bags, goodness gracious. That's pretty good. It's either that means they're either really good, or this company is super foolish. I don't think they're foolish. So maybe you should go to canineprogear.com, enter the promo code ZBT15. You're going to get 15% off. And if you struggling with money, let's say you're a poor bitch PFC and you're living in the barracks and you still want a gear, anything over $75, you can do in four easy payments, which because they use Afterpay on their website as well, you can do that in free shipping on any order over $75 or $75. Make sure you go to Can I Pro Gear, that's CANNAE Pro Gear.com with the promo code ZBT15 for 15% off. Let's get started with the show. Usually, I would say at this point, we've done what, 350 episodes or something like that? 350-something?
370, 360, something? I don't know.
Jeez, a ton of episodes with a ton of time. So I think I've pretty much exhausted first-time stories. Mm-hmm. I think I've told just about every first-time story I can, except for this one. I was laughing to myself in my bathroom while I was brushing my teeth the other night because I don't know where it came from, but, and I was doing it a little bit before we started recording. I love commands that have the gap in between. Like when, for instance, the parade rest command, whenever you're giving the cadence for parade rest, parade, and then you have the pause, mark, or rest, and you say rest. I when we were in boot camp, we used to always go forward. Did you have anything that you would say? Kyle, do you remember what you guys would say?
No, I don't remember a whole lot of that stuff.
You know, I don't remember either.
Yeah, I know Kate doesn't remember. But you would have, like, so you would have people say, forward, stand tall, lean back, or forward, move, bitch, get out the way. Well, the other day I was thinking about it. My platoon, we had lost this competition where we were doing the obstacle course, which is a big thing. Like, the obstacle course day at boot camp, or the days, that's when the drill instructors are, like, super into it. They want you to do well. They're, like, almost kind of cheering you on. Well, my platoon came in last. And not just last. We came in last by, like, 10 minutes.
And that's bad.
It was terrible because one of the kids, PFC Winter, the same kid, no more Dr. Pepper Gunny. If you haven't heard that story, go back and listen to it. That kid stood on top of the A-frame, like the stairway to heaven. He was up there for, like, 10 minutes and wouldn't move.
Oh, just like Private
petrified
Pile?
Petrified of heights.
Like Private Pile there?
Yes, and he, like, didn't want to move at all. So we lost by, like, 10 minutes, and the drill instructor was pissed. So whenever we got back, he was like, you guys don't say stand tall, lean back. You don't say move, bitch, get out the way. You say booger platoon. For the next week, you're saying nothing but booger platoon. So it would be like, forward, booger platoon. March.
Aw. That's
just
fun.
And I just kept doing it over and over. I was like, because I had the Oral-B toothbrush. Booger platoon. Booger platoon.
Speaking of Stolen Valor, Katie, so no shit there we were, all snug in our beds last night, and we get a text from Kate. Hey, what's this rank?
It was fuzzy.
It was shocking. I woke up, and there's not much that happens really anymore that's shocking, but Kate sending a picture of a clear First Sergeant Chevron, and then not knowing the hash marks. I love it. I think that's a great balance from me, who remembers every single ditty, to Kate that doesn't remember anything.
Yeah.
It shows that for some, you're able to move past it and, like, kind of have that dump of your brain. And some, I think I'll always be saying booger platoon.
Yeah. I was watching Johnny Tsunami last night on Disney, and there the one guy's dad is in the Marine Corps stationed in Vermont. And by the way, then they get moved to Iceland. So I don't know how accurate. But he came in and he had all these stripes all over his sleeves. And I was like, man, I don't remember what the hell this is.
Yeah, 4 years. Yeah. Every 4 years you get one.
Oh, I thought it was 5. See, I screwed that up too. I was like,
well, you got screwed up there because you were an MP on a 5-year contract. And so you think enlistment.
Right. So it screwed me up. But anyways, Stolen Valor, Katie strikes again. Cons was the one who told me what the Marine Corps rank was. So that's a rough look for me. Yeah,
it's fine. You're doing great. And also, I think you have now, from essentially like 2 or 3 weeks ago, for the next 18 months, you have a great build an excuse if you forget anything. Sorry, I'm not getting much sleep because of the baby. I'm not doing much of this because of the baby.
Pregnancy
you have
brain.
That built in, and it's wonderful.
Oh, it's been a treat. I've been using it already, so absolutely.
All right, let's move on into round number one. Kate, you want to do a little introduction for this?
Yeah, a little bit of context before we get into it. But Chaps was a man on a mission this week on Twitter, on social media, and caused quite the stir, as I think he should have. But more than a dozen Michigan lawmakers say troops with the Michigan National Guard have been served badly undercooked, raw, and moldy meals, some even filled with metal shavings. And we also saw photos of worms coming out of the food. According to the Detroit News, a soldier reported to one of the Michigan lawmakers last month that multiple soldiers have been getting sick and vomiting after eating, that morale is very bad, and it's not just limited to Michigan guardsmen. One lawmaker said troops from other states say the food situation has improved, but is still far from perfect. Again, this is all because Congress has kept a watchful eye on the Guard since the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, especially after the photos of all the National Guardsmen in the garage, that big parking garage, and all this other stuff. But the photos of the worms and the metal shavings and reports of soldiers in the hospital from this shit, garbage, moldy food, not great. Really, really not great. So, Chaps, take it from here.
Yeah, so I have those moments on Twitter where I will read a couple messages here or there, and I am unaffected by it, you know, like where somebody will tell me I suck dick, I'm a terrible writer, like I'm not funny. And if I see like onesies and twosies every hour, that's a good day for me. Like it's a good day if I don't have that. This one, I was already in a little bit of a mood because I had missed Final Jeopardy. I remember missing Final Jeopardy.
That'll do it.
And then within like 20 minutes, I saw like three or four in my DMs, three or four different people coming up, be like, hey, there's several people sick in my platoon. This is what we ate. And it was clear that it was at different spots because you could see like the background of the room. So it was clear it was in different locations that they were getting this food. And I was like, you know what? This is fucking bullshit. Because if it was just last night that it happened, I could understand a little bit more. You know, if it's an isolated incident and something happens, I mean, you go to a nice steakhouse, sometimes you can find like a roach in your food or hair in your food or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's just, you know, comes with doing business in the food service industry. I remember I was at the, I guess I shouldn't say it, but maybe I will, the New York Athletic Club and for breakfast one morning. I had a hair in my omelet. Not great. They fixed it, but still, you wouldn't expect it there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they had these issues that were going on, and I thought, this is going on for too long. Like, once it's a week, that should be fixed. Like, we have the ability in the military to be anywhere in the world in 24 hours, and we always tout that ability. You're in the capital seat of the free world in Washington, D.C. It would be more understandable if you were in Afghanistan or if you were doing a training op in Indonesia and you have to rely on the logistics from several other foreign countries to get your food in. I would understand that a little bit more. When you're in Washington, D.C., there is absolutely no excuse for logistical options or logistical fuck-ups of any kind. Like, you're right there. You can get anything you possibly want.
Yeah, and so, even if you do have one, there's options to fix it immediately.
Yeah, there is. And so there's only one person that I thought I could really tag that would make a difference. And you can go, sure, the chief of staff could have made it, the second SecDef. But in my opinion, what I think that the senior enlisted advisor to the chief of staff and the subject matter expert for the entire enlisted corps, essentially, in the Army, that's the sergeant major of the Army. And it was multiple units that was happening, so I couldn't really contact the sergeant major of the unit in Michigan or the unit in Minnesota or the unit in Virginia. So I went and tagged the sergeant major of the Army in a lot of tweets over the last over about a 24-hour period. And it gained a lot of traction, and there was a lot of people that were appreciative that we care, like that Zero Block 30 cares. And one, it's because if you're not looking after the E6s and below, or really E5s and below, you don't have a future of your military, really. Like, that is the future of it. And if you treat them well, they will start to know how to treat their soldiers or Marines or airmen or sailors well. Like, that's what you want to see in leadership, is make it better. I went at the sergeant major, and there is some things that I regret about it. One, I didn't want to make it seem totally and like paint with a broad brush that he doesn't care about the troops at all. Like, I think you don't rise to that position without having at least some level of care of your soldiers. There's no doubt in my mind he cares about and loves his soldiers.
Yeah, no, I think that's for sure.
So he had told me in a DM, and I published all the DMs. I really went to the Dave Portnoy School of Online Conflict and just started posting everything that I was getting. And he said that he would make a statement about it in the morning. Well, that statement didn't come, so I started tagging him again, putting that in there. Eventually, he did make a statement, and he said that they understand and it's getting fixed. I actually talked to people from Army headquarters yesterday, and they were telling me that they hired a bunch more food inspectors. They hired quality control people. They did all these different steps, and then they made the statement about it, which is fine and good. The difference of opinion here is that one of the people that was in Army HQ said that the sergeant major does not like to go on and attack individual units themselves. If it's a widespread Army unit thing or a widespread Army, like some of the company commanders were not allowing their troops to have access to workout equipment during quarantine, he'll address that as Army as a whole, but he doesn't want to go after an individual unit because that sergeant major and commander look bad. I get that, and I think that oftentimes that's appropriate, but when it's a situation like this, I don't think so. I think when you have multiple commands across multiple units, at least come out and say, we know, especially if you can walk there from your office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you don't even have to throw anyone under the bus. as the highest ranking enlisted member of the Army, you can just own it yourself. Now, that's a tough one to own. That's a bad look that our soldiers are eating worms and metal shavings. And it takes a lot of courage to stand up and say, hey, that's on me, when clearly, like, I don't think the sergeant major had a hand in serving those meals. So the fact that there were metal shavings and worms was somebody else along the way, along the chain of command, that dropped the ball. So that's not necessarily on him, but...
Oh, I think it was him. I think he went behind the scenes and he was sprinkling stuff for sure.
Yes. Kate actually sent me a video of the sergeant major in there with one of those cheese graters and nothing but a big ball of steel.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I think, though, that is one of the hardest parts about leadership, when you have to assume responsibility for other adults. It's like one thing when you're a parent and you have children and, you know, kids are going to screw up. You got to say, like, oh, I'm sorry, that's on me, it's my kid. But when you have other adults that you put in leadership positions and presumably have reached those leadership positions because they are deserving of that position, it is a very tough pill to swallow when you see other people screw up and you say, ah, I just have to say, you know what, this is on me and I'll fix it. And it really, I like the sergeant major. We had a great conversation when he was on the show. And it was just a little disheartening to see that it took Chaps going at him as hard as he did before he released the statement. As soon as the first story comes out that this is what's going on with your soldiers, boom, statement. You know, get with your PAO, figure out what you want to say, say something right away. Because that's the other thing. I do think he was probably working this problem behind the scenes, but let everyone know that you're working the problem, because when you say nothing, we just assume it's not on your radar, or a lot of people probably assume it's not on your radar. And that's a worse look than and having something screw up.
And I actually disagree with that it's hard to take responsibility. I think that's one of the easiest things you can do. One, it always looks good on you. Like, people know. Like, people that are in, like, actual charge or people that are sitting on the outside, they know. Like, if you're the senior enlisted advisor for the entire Army, they know for sure you're not responsible for procuring food. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not your job.
Yeah.
But if you take responsibility, it's leading by example. It's transparent. It shows all the things that we harp on in small level leadership that we want to see. Take responsibility for your soldiers. You have to go out and be really proactive in what you're doing. And the thing that was funny, I know the sergeant major was mad, but we did essentially what the sergeant major of the Army does to units every single day. Like, they do that every single day. If something happens and the sergeant major of the Army or the sergeant major of the Marine Corps, and you call an individual unit and you say, I want this information, everything stops until they get that information.
Right.
Everything. And we essentially use that tactic to the advantage of the troops that were on the ground. I said in a blog that I wrote that I wish that it would have been so easy at the onset of everything if the sergeant major just went on Twitter and said, listen up, everyone in D.C., we hear you. We appreciate you. We are doing and will do everything possible we can to rectify this situation. Your command team takes full responsibility for what you're going through right now, and I will not rest until it's rectified. Feel free to use this platform to send your concerned or individual small unit updates. I want to know. I need to know. My role is to serve you while you serve the country. That is forever grateful for your continued sacrifice.
And in the meantime, here's a booklet for 10 coupons each to talk about for each of you.
Yeah.
You know, and something fun.
Everybody gets a free haircut at AFES.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Something else. $50 gift card to the Barstool store everybody gets.
Yeah.
So.
Come by. Yeah. I understand everybody's angry. Come by. You get two Arrival Live cards this time. You have two in your pocket.
Exactly. Yeah. Some a nice little treat for them. But hopefully the morale improves now that they see that leadership does care and things are going to change. So, you know, glad.
And I was glad that they reached out. I was also glad that some congresspeople were proactive and saw what was going on and they were doing stuff.
Yeah.
It is nice to see people actually care. And you have to care. You have to.
Yeah. And on a more macro level, I think people are forgetting that we still have guards there in D.C. It breaks my heart to see that we have chain link fence and barbed
wire. There's still some on the border, too. We don't ever talk about that shit.
Yeah, it's unbelievable when it's not, you know, the front page story and it's not the first story on the news that night, how quickly people forget. So many members of Congress were very quick to go take pictures and, hey, look at me, In-N-Out pizzas. Well, now they're eating worms. Where are you now, Senator So-and-so? Where
They're
are you
on
now,
fucking Twitter
so-and-so?
That and saying that the other party is responsible, like a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
Like
who
all
cares?
Of us. Madison Cawthorn was doing it. Fucking, who was, there was somebody else that was talking about how if it wasn't for extreme right-wing people that are being coddled by the GOP, that they wouldn't need to be there in the first place. Stop with the partisan bullshit. Mm. Like, just, like, this is an issue that needs to be addressed. Address it. Address it like grown people.
Right.
This is, like, they are just fucking toddlers right now in Congress.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
How can any adult look at the National Guard in our nation's capital and think that's okay? I don't care which party you associate with. Why would you think that's okay for them
if
to be there?
If I had to put an acronym on it, I'd say SNAFU. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. Which means what?
Situation normal, all fucked up. Speaking of acronyms, folks.
Katie, yes. Transitions.
We have from round number two, we have Paul Soldier wrote this, and I think that Paul, I mentioned this on Twitter too. Paul is unbelievably talented at writing.
Creator of the Duffel Blog.
And writing news stories and still making them funny and entertaining while going through the information that he needs to. He does a great job with that. So he found this acronym. I guess they had the Pentagon released a statement. And Kate, what is the phonetic alphabet of the newest acronym in the military?
Fuck. Candy.
Buckle up.
Candy. Nicoderm. Igloo. Donald. Donald. Cat. Cat. Swab, apple, apple, pecan, Washington, swab, vasectomy, cat, sugar, apple.
That's right. For those that are keeping score at home, that's CNIDDCCSAAPWSVCSA. No one in the world will ever... That, honestly, it sounds like one of those nerd competitions that you occasionally will see of people that are reciting, like, how many numbers of pi can you go through.
Can you use it in a sentence, please?
Yes.
Can you?
When I was going through school, I had to study the CNIDDCC. Imagine if you were speaking to somebody and they started busting that out. You would think they were having a fucking stroke.
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy town.
Yeah, so they introduced that one. It actually means the Commission on the Naming of Items of the Department of Defense that commemorates the Confederate States of America or any person who served voluntarily with the Confederate States of America.
What?
My God.
What?
That just sounds like when you start, like, it sounds like they went into their iPhone and they said Commission of Naming, and then when it has the auto, like, the words that come up at the bottom where they just kept smashing, like, the first word in the middle of the sentence. Mm-hmm. And that's what showed up was that big-ass acronym. Mm-hmm. But it's essentially about having the symbols from the Confederacy removed and the names of the bases and the gates and all that stuff at Fort Hood and Fort Bragg being renamed by January 24. Like,
well,
Kate,
that's crazy.
They might even have gender-neutral heads at the Marine Corps before the Army is able to go out and change the name on the front.
Well, there's 20-something letters in this acronym. There's only 8 people in the group that's assembled to get rid of these Confederate names by January.
You could have just went with their initials.
By January 24th. This group's just called Doug. He's one of the 8 guys that are fixing this. But yeah, acronyms aside, at least it's finally happening. The Army has argued for years against changing the names of its post since soldiers who fought against the United States during the American Civil War. One even claimed the naming of installations in honor of Braxton Bragg, a general and mill advisor to the Confederate President John Brown Gordon, a Confederate major general, reputed leader of the KKK, was done in the spirit of reconciliation, not division.
Yikes.
Sure, Jan. Yeah. But the times they are changing. While a once secret study carried out by the Army found that racism may not have played a major role in naming decisions, several posts were linked to advocacy groups for Confederate veterans that coincided with a resurgence of the KKK. And as we know, don't have to explain it too much. KKK, not great.
Yeah,
real
KKK,
bad.
KKK, actually bad, yeah.
Actually super bad. So now what should have been called, I think Paul's arguing, the Appomattox Commission, which is now instead like 20
letters. I mean, the Appomattox Commission, you can remember that.
Yeah, but it now serves as perhaps the most unpleasant acronym in military history, and when lawmakers are going toe-to-toe against shorthand like USAJFKSWCSDFAC, that's really saying something. So a lot of horrible acronyms in our military.
Yeah, and Paul went on to describe some of the other ones like dildo and abominations that make little sense, like POAM, and that one stands for Plan of Action and Milestone, and Paul has the contention they could have just simply called that a plan. That's right. Also known as a plan there. Acronyms are all across the military, and I saw one this week where you have different spokesmen. These people that are PAOs, they have a tough job. They really do. Like getting information out, making it accurate, making it succinct without any type of political fodder anywhere in it. Just a blanket statement. Well, one of them that is over, I believe it was the U.S. Central Command, they were talking about what happened in Iraq this week where there was missile strikes that bombed on al-Assad. Well, they said that it was IDF was responsible for the possible injuries or buildings that were injured. Well, IDF can mean any number of things. It can mean Israeli Defense Forces, or it could also mean indirect fire. Mm-hmm. There's a time and a place for acronym, and if everybody doesn't know, the first time you use it in like a paragraph, it should be AP rules. You have to spell it out the first time. You can't just use IDF. It can mean a multitude of things.
Yeah, you can't just assume that people are going to know right. The one you're talking about. And I don't know. Maybe even just because we always have to complicate things in the military. I don't think this needs its own separate commission. This needs maybe at most a one-day conference. You get everybody in a room. You order up lunch, you sit around, you already know the ones that need to be renamed, you brainstorm, you come up with some new names, easy peasy, and you get out of there and you're at happy hour on Friday. I don't need an entire commission to think through this thing. We know the places that were named after certain people were bad. Okay, identify
40
them.
McFortface.
Yeah.
You're done. I'll right. name all of them 40 McFortface.
Yeah.
Yep. Simple.
Or just
can't be
take
McCamperson.
Them all, Fort 1, Fort 2, Fort 3.
Exactly.
Just number simple. Them bitches.
Yeah,
that'd be
seriously.
Easy. Everybody yeah. knows that. You just number stuff. It's super easy to remember. Mm.
Are there any acronyms that you guys still use in your everyday life?
Ooh. FUBAR I do occasionally.
SNAFU I'll use. I use SNAFU in blogs sometimes. I'll throw it in there. JJ did tie buckle is something I keep my heart at all times.
Mm-hmm. What's that one?
I always do BAMSI.
Oh, boy. Justice, judgment, understanding, dialect,
just
buckles.
Me. Honest to God. It just,
yeah. Bravery.
All right. Yeah, it's about time we just let everybody know. We found Kate on the side of the road. She is from Africa and has never served in our military.
And Kyle just photoshops her pictures into different Afghanistan magazines.
Yeah.
He's really good at it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He uses face swap. It's incredible.
I use SITREP a lot. With certain friends who know it, that way you can just, you know, text them SITREP to say like, hey, where
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, SITREP. I've done that. I did that to somebody the other day. It was somebody that was buying shit off of Facebook Marketplace and coming. I said SITREP, like what time are you going to be here essentially? And they're just like question mark
like,
back.
What?
I was like, oh yeah, not everybody knows that. That was a big adjustment for Connor and I when this show first started.
Yes.
Like trying to strip ourselves of any of those type of words that people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Translating.
It is. It's like speaking a different language. And you can also, I don't have a really smooth segue into this ad read. I'm going to say it. this is Simply Safe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about a break in to your home ever again. That's how quick and easy it is to set up a security
system.
That's
good ORM, operational
exactly
risk
right.
management.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do use that one sometimes too. Like if Kelsey or somebody is going to a park. Like Kelsey likes to ride the electric scooter we have. She likes to scoot goof to one of the neighborhood parks. And she's like, I want to come back. Can I come back at like 9? And I said, how dark is it going to be at 9? She's like, all the way dark. I was like, we have to ORM this.
I have
you don't
bad
have
news,
helmet.
Guys.
You don't have a glow belt. You need to have all these things, ORM.
I have bad news. They don't call it ORM anymore. At least in the Marine Corps, it's just risk management now.
Oh,
they,
okay.
They lopped off the O. Sorry.
Wow.
RM, that doesn't have the same pizzazz.
It doesn't.
It, Makes me it think of at REM. All,
but what does have pizzazz is the simplysafe.com/ZBT deal that you're going to get. You can easily choose the exact sensors you need or get help from one of their experts. It'll get to your house in about a week, which means by this time next week, your whole family can go to bed without knowing, with knowing your home is being guarded. It's easy to assume everyone in your house already feels safe, but they might not, and it's worth to talk about. And SimpliSafe is a small, easy step to make sure that everyone feels safe at home. Go to simplysafe.com/ZBT today to order and customize your system and get a free security system camera. You get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. That's simplysafe.com/ZBT. Let's move on to round number three. This one's a little bit of sleep deprivation. This is the second time, and our second or third time in the last 2 months, where the military is releasing these reports, and I'm like, why the fuck are you doing a report on this? They did one about, is there racism that happens in the military? Yes. Check. Like, you didn't have to have a full-out report about that. We know it. Sexual assault, is that a problem? Yes, absolutely is a problem. Is sleep deprivation a problem? Yes, but here's another report, and we're going to go through it just a little bit, because the DOD issued the report that says the study of effects of sleep deprivation and readiness in members of the armed forces, also known as SESDRMAF. Good old acronym.
At this part in the report, so far the report's only figured out the acronym for the report. They haven't done any other research yet. But they did do a comprehensive review of relevant scientific studies, which revealed that 64% of service members are not getting enough sleep compared to 28 to 37% of civilians. So,
can I ask you guys why you think that is?
The hours we keep?
What do you think the main reason that people are sleep deprived?
Video games and rippets.
Smoke pit.
Exactly right. I was going to say monsters. Video games and monsters. I legitimately think that's it. Because there's not very many units stateside or CONUS that have, continental United States,
I knew that.
that don't have the ability to get 8 hours. That just doesn't happen that often.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you don't see units consistently having their people work from 06 to like 02.
No,
that doesn't happen. You're not at work that long.
No, most
you're going home. You're choosing not to.
In a lot of ways, the Army is a 9 to 5. When you're not deployed, it is a 9 to 5 in a lot of ways. You know, minus getting there early for PT, but you usually go home.
Deployed is
hour.
Very different, yeah. Because on a deployment, mm-hmm. I could totally see that. Or if you're underway, you're out at sea, that's when those problems start really existing, because they have to do the 12 hours on, 12 hours off. And if you're working 12 hours and you only have 12 hours off, you still want to have some semblance of who you are as a person.
Yeah.
You still want to watch some Netflix. You still want to jerk that old peen, or you want to flick the bean. You want to do whatever you want to do. You want to crush some monsters, and you can't do that because you're not going to be sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, it's not great, though. It's definitely – and, I mean, it really does lead to huge problems. I've talked about it on the show before, but I was on a convoy once coming back from the field where we got no sleep on this field op at all. Like, they kept us up. And on the way back, one of our guys fell asleep at the wheel and, like, drove the Humvee off a cliff with a bunch of people on the back of it. So, not great. Like, we were so tired, we were stopping. Like, I remember stopping at a green light and being like, wait a minute, hold on, I should be driving. Like, it makes you – it's worse than drunk driving. Like, it fucks you up.
Yeah, and that happens, like, even just driving normal, you know? Like, there's been hundreds of times where you drive down the road on a road trip and you're like, whoa, I don't remember anything about the last 10 miles.
I think that is one of the worst feelings when you're driving at night and you're tired and trying to stay awake. That is a horrible, horrible feeling.
And bad things obviously really do happen. Part of the reason that this study was commissioned is because there's two separate collisions in 2017 between U.S. destroyers and commercial vessels that killed 17 sailors. I know we've covered that, but 7 sailors in June 2017 with the USS Fitzgerald, and then 10 sailors on the USS John S. McCain. Both destroyers sustained millions of dollars in damages, but of course, worst of all, the loss of life there. In response, the Navy changed its policy on duty schedules to accommodate better circadian rhythms, but anecdotal feedback indicates this policy is not always followed. Of course, it's not. So the sleep deprivation report recommended leaders across all branches arrange duty schedules to ensure people are getting more sleep and to stop environmental disruption, such as noise in sleeping areas. So I don't know how you're going to get your roommate to stop fapping so loud, but it's a problem. It's got to stop.
You know what?
And I think the last sentence is key. They said attitudes towards sleep may range from viewing sleep as a controlled ration to asserting that the need for sleep is a sign of weakness. That is it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Because people automatically assume, like leaders assume, oh, sleep is a weakness. That is one that is definitely ingrained from the moment you step into the Marine Corps. You never once see any of your drill instructors sleeping or laying down, sitting or eating intentionally. They do it intentionally. So they are viewed as like machines, and that's what you should be as well. That is not a great idea.
No, and then clearly, when you get out to your unit, obviously we mentioned it, but the presence of caffeine is just assumed that this is part of being in the military, that you're just on caffeine all the time. And I think more importantly, they're talking about, you know, assessing and making sure people are telling their subordinates to get sleep. It's just like what Chap said. You can tell me to go to my room. Okay, great. Well, what do I have in my room? I can watch DVD, or not DVDs anymore. I can watch Netflix. I can play video games. I can go to the gym and work out. Just because you set aside time for me to be sleeping doesn't mean I'm going to sleep. This still comes down to, are you a functioning adult?
Sorry, but I'm arguing with my hometown girlfriend for the next 7 hours and no one can stop me.
Seriously.
Okay? I'm swiping right
it's
forever.
It's her senior year of high school. She's acting out.
I'm really getting sick of it, man. But I think that they maybe should take, like, company gunnies or barracks miniatures should take a little trip out of me and Kyle's playbook with our kids. Just go in there and turn the Wi-Fi off. Like, if you motherfuckers don't start sleeping, we're going to turn the Wi-Fi off. Wi-Fi goes off at 2200.
That's not a bad idea.
You two go through the barracks
and,
like,
tuck.
That's
a terrible idea, Con. We're not going to do that. That's so fucked up. Could you imagine being out in formation and your first sergeant walks out and be like, hey, was listening to ZBT. They had a great idea. Chap said that we should just turn the Wi-Fi off, so that's what we're going to do. 2200, we're turning the lights off. We would have zero listeners left on the show.
No,
I
right.
like the idea of Chaps and Kyle going from room to room, tucking everybody in, giving them little snacks and little, all right, good night, guys. A little kiss on the forehead.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, I mean, like, I think back to when I was in school, we did have somebody come by every night at 11:30 and they poked their head in a room. And if your light was on, they would shut your light off and you were supposed to go to bed. But obviously, the rigors of academic life sometimes prevail and you got to stay up and work on something on your computer, but you weren't allowed to have your lights on past 11:30.
Huh. The duty comes in and they can see the flashlight just under the blanket and they're like, what are you reading, Con? He's like, Harry Potter. Can't get enough of that Voldemort. I know that. Mm. I also can't get enough of shoving stuff straight up my butthole.
Yeah.
I wanted that to hang out there a little bit. China is humiliating all different types of folks in China because they are making it mandatory for a coronavirus test. But they're not just doing it with straight up the nose. Like, you guys have had it a bunch. Kate and Cons, you guys have been tested a shit ton of times, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I've only had to be tested once.
They go way up there.
And my eyes started watering, and I felt like a little bitch on the quarterdeck. It was terrible whenever we were doing that.
Everybody
but
was laughing
China
at
doesn't
you.
Want – they're not going to stick it in your nose. They're going to stick that motherfucker up your ass.
Okay. Yeah, and as somebody who, again, I know we talked about this last week, but as somebody who had a Q-tip shoved up my ass last week, it doesn't feel great. It does not feel great. I got to tell
you.
You
think it's because it's dry?
Probably.
Yes. Yes, it's because it's dry. Mm.
I have a question.
Move it up a little bit.
Don't they take babies' temperatures that way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I got the digital, the little beep, the little forehead gun for him. Because I'm not putting him through what I went through.
Okay.
Harrowing.
Right.
You want to talk about – I've done a lot of talk about dogs on the dog walk. You want to talk about scary? The first time you have to take – a military working dog at school, like when you're in the schoolhouse and take their like field temperature and take it out of your little first aid pit and put it in your dog's ass. That is scary because they don't enjoy it.
Not great. So, well, doctors in China probably know that fear if they've got a big grizzled person that they've got to do this test to. They're using the anal test on quarantine patients to check and see if they're free of the coronavirus. State media has been told that COVID traces stay detectable for longer in poop than they do in the nose or the throat.
That was an unbelievable enunciation of poop, Kate.
Poop! Japan is calling on China to stop using the undignified test, as some passengers say it causes them psychological distress. So I guess if you go over there, so like China ordered American diplomats to undergo anal tests just last week.
If I was the Secretary of State, I'd be sending people over there just to fuck with them. Be like, yeah. Brian, you're going to China. You gotta go.
Guess who's going to China? Beijing has denied the claims, but Washington has slammed the test as undignified. Sorry, Beijing, you can't deny it if a bunch of Americans are like, oh, they put Q-tips up our assholes.
But imagine you're getting off the plane, you're going to China, you're going to do business or whatever, and you're walking through because every country has that little waiting area where you're getting your passport changed. And they're like, all right, drop them pants. I'm going to stick this up your butt. You're like, what the heck?
Huh?
What the heck?
What?
You're going to put that where?
What the heck?
That's going to go.
Huh?
Right up.
You need me to grab one cheek?
Wait, what?
Butthole?
Pull that motherfucker out of the sky.
Huh? Nothing on it.
Pull it up so you can see
my poop.
What?
All the way inside.
Whoa. 5 centimeters.
Oh, I touch,
like a whale's mouth.
Me there.
It's going to look like a whale's mouth when you open it up and
tip and
look
spokes.
Inside there.
Whoa. Hey.
You can have that. Go.
I didn't think this is
so it'd be rough whenever you're doing it to get it done. But China's like, we don't give a fuck if you're coming here. It's going straight up that candy ass.
Yeah. The only relief is that in response, a doctor told state media that travelers could also provide a poop sample at the airport instead.
Oh, so,
you know what?
See,
I didn't get to that
part. You just pull out your Taco Bell cup and dump right in there.
Exactly,
yes.
Right.
Perfect. Imagine you just hand them a bag of a big old stinker. You've been
sitting
on a
plane.
Well,
you're in luck. I've got one in my right cargo pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my favorite game we used to play at the kennels, where if you came in last for detection for the day, you had to wear a poop parrot. You had to put that thing on your shoulder and walk around. That was a good time.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to round number 5. Kate, what do we have for round number 5? This one's right in your wheelhouse.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Spork's taking a little snoozer on the couch right behind me as I do this one. Snug as a bug. Thank God he's safe. And thank goodness these other cats are safe, thanks to the Thai Navy sailors who braved choppy waters to launch a dramatic rescue this week after discovering that 4 cats had been abandoned on a sinking ship that caught fire off an island. After the crew had been taken to safety, the Navy was sent to the site of the capsized vessel to check for an oil spill, but discovered a few furry crew members instead that had been left behind. Shitty crew to leave cats behind on a ship, by the way. Fuck those guys. I used my camera to zoom in on the boat, and I saw one or two cats popping their heads out, said First Class Petty Officer Wicket Pukadilan of the Navy's Air and Coastal Defense Division. A sailor in a life vest swam out to the boat, of which 4 little ginger cats were huddled together on a wooden beam.
And we have the picture in our sheet, and it looks so cute, but I want to see the real action, because cats, when they're in water, they're not thrilled about it.
No.
Oh, no.
And these guys, like, going to get these and swimming with them on their back, you can see in the picture the cat is absolutely gripping the shit out of his life vest.
I mean, if he's not wearing a life vest, those claws are right into his skin.
And his back. Look where his back hind legs are.
Yeah.
Those are going into his ribs. So you're swimming in ocean currents and doing all that stuff with cats. I bet that cat's trying to, like, that cat's blaming that guy at the time. Like, you did this to me.
What's
How
wrong?
Dare
Absolutely.
You? How dare you?
I took my cat out in the patio the other day to enjoy the breeze, and a bus went by, and he, like, I had scratches on my, literally, all over my tit, my side, my stomach, and then I had a doctor's appointment that afternoon. I had to be like, oh, I tried to take my cat out for some fresh air, my bad. But anyway, the rescuer brought the cats to his, the cats to his boat on his shoulder, as you guys were saying. They got pulled in by rope. The Facebook went crazy for these guys. They're good-looking fellas, and they got these little ginger cats on them. These guys are on the road to, I'll say it, Pussy Town. Okay. This is.
Yeah, and
imagine walking into a Thai bar, and those guys are sitting there ripping a cigarette with their hands shaking, and somebody comes up like, what's going on, fellas?
Yeah.
I can't stop
hope they
thinking
keep
about
the cats.
Those wet pussies.
Yeah. Those poor wet pussies.
And to anybody who says we don't give the Navy enough shine, there you go. How about it?
Yeah, the Thai Navy,
Thai
too.
Navy.
We love all navies. Oh, we don't love all navies. No, there's some navies that we hate.
Yeah,
but yeah, we can that's true. We sorry, Russia.
What do you think? All right, what do you think? And we'll exclude anything that is significantly heavier, like a hippopotamus or something, than a human. What do you think would be the most difficult animal to save off a sinking ship? Cats are definitely up there, but what else?
Cats gotta be it.
Snakes.
Snake, you could wear like a bow tie. Just tie that motherfucker up.
Oh, tie it around. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you meant have a snake dangle off your bow tie. I was like, what?
That snake taught me how to dangle.
I think monkeys would be easy.
I saw this monkey on TikTok. This little thing is the cutest. Like, so there's this little, the same kind of monkey that Ross from Friends has.
Yes.
There's this, and he got his own little bed, like a twin size mattress for his little monkey room. And they take off all the plastic, and the monkey puts his head like down on his own bed, and they're like, "This is your bed. This is your bed." And he has the biggest little monkey grin you've ever seen. It's so cute, so cute.
That should be the next animal for the chap's house.
Mm. No, what is? I think it's actually cruel to have monkeys because they're such pet creatures.
Yeah, everyone thinks a monkey's a great pet until they actually have one and realize that's not a good idea. What?
Pigs are a good pet.
Yeah, so I just learned how that pigs, I actually learned this from Alex. She was telling me pigs are very similar to dogs in that how well they can be domesticated.
Yeah, and they're really easy. They have the, you know how cats have the instinct to go to a litter box?
Yes.
You can put a little, if you have a little piglet, you can put a litter box out and it'll learn how to use a litter box just like a cat does.
Interesting, interesting. All right, next question. If there were to be a new pet in the Chaps Zoo, what's the next pet at the new house?
Oh, if it's going to be outside, that's an easy answer, and that's a one of those little miniature half donkey, half zebra, the Zonkey. Yeah. I would love to have a miniature Zonkey.
Okay.
No brainer.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
Inside, it would definitely be a pig. I've tried to talk Annalise into getting a pig several times.
And her response is?
Absolutely not. I want to get a pig and name it Biscuit.
I like that.
Imagine if it was like a little emotional support animal and I got to take it everywhere and me and Biscuit are getting onto a plane together. Incredible. Never happened though. All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. First, I'll start first because Kate, I have a question for you. We're in the middle of lots of talk, even on Capitol Hill with the senators and all them talking about cancel culture. I recently saw an article that there is a movement to stop calling it breast milk start calling it chest milk.
As somebody who never really grew breasts, I'm cool with it, I guess. As somebody who's always been an A cup, let's bring on the chest milk. I think that's one of those silly things that like a few people said, like one or two, and everybody's like, oh, they're trying to cancel breast. Like, I don't think that's a real thing, but
it really reminds me of that tweet thread where the guy's like, Twitter's fucked up because you could say anything like, oh, I just saw a cute horse, and somebody will chime in like, actually, my uncle was a horse farmer and so many of them died, so I find this offensive.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's exactly what culture is right now. It's crazy.
I hate how there's a problem with everything. But that the chest milk thing made me think of, I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I think more often than not, only one person has a problem with something, but then it's the response that that person gets that makes it a thing. And so I don't know, but I'll say.
What if you got your anus swabbed for COVID, and then as soon as they stick it in there, then all of a sudden your chest milk goes everywhere?
No, can't have that.
Can't have that.
I just prefer titty. Let's say we all got titties, you know?
Oh, I thought you were going to say I prefer titty milk. That's
that's what I'm saying. Let's say we all just have titty milk.
It is what you're saying. Oh, okay.
I think that's the professional medical way. Also, I just had a snot bubble come out of my nose like a little giant.
We're
going
to ignore it.
Don't worry.
Once you're past the 8-month mark, there is nothing that
there's no shot Kyle clips that and puts it out there. No way.
I can feel it come out of my nose.
All right, Kyle, what do you got?
Not a whole lot. One interesting thing is as Kate's pregnancy has progressed, her breathing has become
more labored.
And I sympathize with you and I feel for you, Kate. It'll all well, be...
this is the part where it really sucks to be like quarantine season and at home and like having to do Zoom because she essentially has to like sit up straight with her belly resting on her legs. I would imagine
it's
terrible.
Resting on my legs. That... when I pee, it rests on the toilet. I have to like keep it off the toilet seat now.
Oh,
being pregnant sounds horrible.
Yeah, sorry.
But sorry, Kyle, because you're the one who has to like edit it out as I'm like.
I was going to segue this into, remember, we put all these up on YouTube. So if you'd like to see Kate squirm for about an hour and 20 minutes, that's a great way. She moves more.
I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah. Kate's been like, you guys don't care if we do it in a robe. Like, no, they don't give a fuck.
I'm yawning. I haven't brushed my hair. I have snot bubbles.
Usually when you're on the couch, at some point, you're just like leaning all the way back. You're like 6 feet.
Leaning back.
Whoops.
No, so go check out YouTube. And then all the other things people are doing. Chaps has Barstool Confessions, where he's a giant Bible nerd. Kate's doing out and about, and
Kanzev is on trivia this week.
Yeah, Kanzev's
I also
want to
say,
trivia.
What the fuck was I just gonna say? I was in there, but I lost it.
Oh, and Clubhouse. Sorry, we do Clubhouse now. So if you use Clubhouse, I think we might need to incorporate like Jeopardy style military Jeopardy stuff into Clubhouse trivia.
Ooh, that could be
pretty fun.
That would
could
be
phone
good.
A friend and all that. But anyways, check out all that stuff. And I don't know.
Okay. And we're preparing also for Catherine to be on Baby Leaf soon. And so Kanz and I are going to do some guest hosting like we did when he was out or where Kate was out before. And we had like Adam Kinzinger and Max Uriarte from Terminal Lance. If go to the iTunes comments and put in whoever you want us to have as a co-host. And I'll try to reach out to him and get them on as a co-host. So that should be a fun time, too. Cons, what about you?
Yeah, I lost on the dozen this week. Chaps lost on the Chicago dog walk. We're going to wear it, find a new slant, get over it. I saw a story yesterday, the day before. Kellen Winslow, he's going to jail for sexual assault, I think. Do you guys remember when he had that very famous I'm a soldier rant?
Yep.
What a dirtbag. Former guest of ZBT, Amanda Baliones. I'm sure a lot of people know her from the PGA Tour and the work she does with them. She got engaged, so congratulations to her. And then finally, how about that old salty dog, Pope Francis? He's getting deployment under his belt. He's going to Iraq.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
No GYD action.
I know.
He's going to go to Iraq, come home with a silver star.
Yeah, Kyle, why don't you, will you send him a sea service deployment ribbon on Twitter?
Yeah, I'll tag the Space Force.
Yeah,
that'll be good.
Perfect.
They'll appreciate that for sure. Kate, you got anything?
No, nothing. Oddly enough, I got nothing.
All righty. We'll be back here on Tuesday. Maybe Kate will, maybe Kate won't. Hard to say. We don't know. But Tuesday, I'll have a brand new house. I'll have my new house.
That's crazy.
Can't wait to move into that bad boy. It's going to be a good time. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. It's on the retreat.